Okay. Well, welcome to the call tonight, everyone. Before we begin, I want to remind you that if you are in a quiet environment, please feel free to keep your phone line open. However, if things become noisy around you and you don't have a mute button on your telephone, you can self-mute your phone by pressing *6, and to unmute yourself, you can press *7. Also, if anyone is using a cell phone on the call, because this does sometimes make for interesting noises on the bridge line, we would ask you to please self-mute now, and please don't feel like that you can't still contribute something, because if you have a question or comment, just please go ahead and unmute by pressing *7 and pop on in and say whatever it is that's on your mind. And today we will be talking about coachable moments. If you have a question or comment, please make yourself known by saying your name, please, so that we know who is talking. So if everyone is ready, we'll get going here. And today's call is sponsored by the Certified Coaches Alliance. My name is Gary Glasscock. As most of you know, I am a lecturer associate and a working master certified life coach and a master spirit life coach. As I said earlier, today we're going to be talking about coachable moments. Please follow along and take notes as you listen. So today, as I said, you know, we're talking coachable moments, but we're going to talk about the clues that we recognize that talk about clues so that we recognize the coachable moment, and this will include energy and vocal changes. We're going to talk a little bit about timing, and recognizing that change can be difficult for the client. It may even cause some distress. Change is hard for all of us, so expect that your client may come up against some resistance. We'll talk a little bit about supporting the client when they come up against some stress about change, and a whole lot more. And one other little thing that I want to point out, and I use this with my clients a lot of times, because, you know, just like I said, their change is hard for all of us, and you can sometimes expect some resistance from your client. But also realize that when the client is making changes like that, when they are striving to get out of the mediocrity of life, so to speak, it's kind of like having a bucket of crabs. What happens with a bucket of crabs is one crab starts to try to get out, and the others reach up and grab him and pull him back in. So realize that sometimes that happens with your client as they're making changes in their lives and all. There are people around them that might be trying to pull them back in to back down into what I refer to as the mediocrity of life, and that's really not where they want to be. They're wanting to get out of that, or they wouldn't be working with you to begin with. So it's always a good idea to kind of let them know ahead of time that sometimes that happens, and so that they'll be aware of it and they can prepare themselves for it. So with that said, let's point out that a coachable moment can be defined as a moment or moments that occur during the coaching conversation when the client receives a revelation, or a moment that the coach can use to demonstrate the tactics being developed. Coachable moments are the juice of the session. These are the potential moments where the rubber meets the road for the client. The intended outcome of exploring coachable moments is to discover just how the client can make a shift in understanding in order to take action. Coachable moments are not the point in the session to push for strategy or action. That will come later. And the coach's job is to notice these potential moments and explore one or all of them. Not all coachable moments are equal in importance either. To be a masterful coach, you need to learn which to explore first, how deeply to examine it, and when to look into it more fully. Begin by investigating the most useful or the most urgent points first. It comes down to doing or experience. So clues to finding the moment. Now, your client will provide you with clues on how and when to coach them. These will come in the form of subtle comments and actions. And when listening closely, you can hear these points differentiate themselves from other things being said, almost as if they were highlighted in your awareness. Coachable moments present themselves as opportunities for powerful coaching, though. Look for clues in the agenda that the client sets. Later in the session, you might detect additional opportunities as well. So here's some subtle clues your client may unknowingly supply. So you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 there, 7, 8 blanks there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the first one is missing pieces to a story. Missing pieces to a story. I'm sure we've all experienced that at some point or another when we were talking with someone and it just seemed like they were leaving things out. That happens with your clients sometimes, and you know, be aware that that might give you an opportunity to delve a little deeper. Now, the second one is strong or weak energy. The next one is repeated words or phrases. And sometimes when you have these repeated words or phrases, pay attention to what's going on there, and what is being repeated, because that can also give you a little glimmer into the mentality of the client, and possibly even help you to get in a little deeper with the client and bring that out more fully to where you can actually go after it, work on it, and get your client past that. Another is inconsistent statements. Next is nervous laughter. And of course, now that wouldn't. This is just a little sidebar here. It's nothing really important. But that wouldn't. I don't think that would really apply to my wife because she laughs all the time. She laughs at all kinds of things. Doesn't she, Gary? Oh, he must be muted. Okay. The next one is assumptions, interpretation.
Yes, sorry. I was muted, and my screen had gone dark, so I had to. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
I'm back. But yes, that is true. Pam is a walking laughter machine, and she has the most incredible laugh.
Oh, how wonderful.
It's really, really infectious and really wonderful, yeah.
So the next thing is assumptions, interpretations, or limited perspectives. Then you have sudden, strong, or contrary emotions. And then you have just these little throwaway comments, just, you know, little things that they toss out and you might say something about, oh, that was nothing. That was nothing. But then again, why was it said? You know, there is a reason behind all that. But sometimes you'll hear clients say something that might seem a bit strange. It is likely that this is something valuable to explore. Also, they may repeat words or phrases that could indicate a coachable moment. So coaching requires both parties' energy. Most often when something is missing from a client's story, it is also missing from the client's understanding. They might be disregarding it or not wanting to face a certain critical piece of information. Remember, it's not the coach's job to force the client to deal with anything. If you believe you become aware of something, gently check it out with the client. Sometimes uncovering the missing pieces unlocks the client's mind about their issue and decisions are more easily made. Looks like a client that, I'm still working with her now, but a client that I have, there was something I had been noticing over several calls, and so I just asked her about it one day. And later on, she ended up having a major shift. We're talking like the next day, she ended up having a major shift. And because of it, but what happened was, and this is what she told me, she said, when you asked me that, she said, because I'd been thinking it myself, but not really, but wasn't really paying that much attention to it, but when you asked it, it made it real.
Mm.
You know, it was like, hey, somebody else is noticing this too, so evidently there's something there. So that, you know, though, when you do things like that, you know, you are doing your client a favor. I mean, you're really doing them a great big favor by doing that. But should you hear breathlessness, an unusual pace in your client's speech, or if you sense intense energy, take note of it. If it doesn't smooth out in the first few minutes of the session, point it out to your client. You might even suggest that they take a moment to regroup, gather the thoughts, and then be more fully present. If your client's energy remains low, note that as well. Coaching requires both you and the client to have sufficient energy for the session. If either of you can't bring that energy into the session, it might be best to just postpone it until a later date. I've done that too. Me and a client had been working together for a couple of months, and I had called them for our regular session, and I could tell things just weren't quite right. It just, something seemed off, and so I asked them about it, and basically they just weren't feeling very well at the time. They were troubled by some other things that had happened, and so then I asked them, I said, well, do you think it would be better if we just postponed and maybe later in the week or just skip this week? And then they said, yeah, I believe that would be better. So that's what we did. So now you can also try calling the client forth. And what you do is you ask your client to take a few deep breaths, brighten their voice, and then raise their energy a bit and continue with the work. So if you've got a client that's kind of down like this, and I'll, you know, help bring them up and like it says here, call them forth. Get them to come up in their energy level. So exploring vocal cues by your client's raising of their voice or energy, there will be a dramatic change in their presence as well as in their general state of mind. It might be the very thing that will make coaching possible or give them the spark to make more action, to take more action. If you hear your client make quiet, audible sounds or say something that simply just doesn't fit with something else that they've said earlier, this usually indicates that there's something more going on under the surface than the words alone are conveying. It is a cue for the coachable moment and for the coach to listen closely and possibly ask the client about the sound. Pointing out these sounds will often reflect to the client where they are stuck and then get them rolling toward their own solution more quickly. You know, it'd be so easy for the coach to step right over this coachable moment and agree with the client. Instead, though, don't let that client wiggle away from exploring the issue. This is always another opportunity to operate from the client's values, wants, and desires. Make a statement or formulate a question that points this out. Then, when possible, it is best to hold up a mirror to help the client see who they are actually being, contrasted to the way that they want to be. Mirroring is transformational because it allows the client to see themselves from the perspective of an observer. So change can be difficult, just like I was talking about earlier. Just because a client occasionally breaks into tears or raises their voice doesn't mean you need to stop the coaching. And refer them to a therapist. Only chronic or unmovable emotions are cause for concern. Strong emotions are often a necessary release of energy that could pave the way for a time of meaningful action. And please take care not to step over emotions and go on as if you didn't hear it. On the other hand, limit your empathetic response. It is generally not helpful to console or become emotional yourself. Show understanding and compassion, keep your boundaries, and encourage your client to release and more through the emotions. Remember, this time of change is often very difficult, and as we know, we all get stuck in our ruts. You know, we all do it sometime or another. But along with the process of change, there may come a sudden fear or uncertainty at the prospect of changes that are taking place or are about to take place. You know, they could be like, well, you know, if I make all these changes, then what's my family going to think of me? If I make all these changes, what about my wife? What about my husband? You know, are they going to think differently of me or whatever? So, I mean, you know, those are honest fears that people have about change sometimes, especially when you're working, you know, when they're working with a coach and you're, you know, you're working to help them make some serious change in their life.
Excuse me, Gary.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jennifer. At the beginning you had talked about referring them to a therapist. I missed what you said as to when is the time to refer them to a therapist.
Oh, just only when you have chronic or unmovable emotions. Those are the ones that are cause for concern.
Okay.
You know, if you know, the strong emotions that may come out, sometimes that's necessary. But you know, if it keeps happening and keeps happening and keeps happening, or they just can't get away from these emotions, then that's cause for concern, and you might want to refer them to a therapist at that point.
Okay.
All right. So each one of us has assumptions and interpretations that unnecessarily limit us. When you notice this, give your client another way to look at matters. Your point of view doesn't have to be right. All you're trying to do is awaken the client to new perspectives. Once their mind is open, hey, they'll be on their own anyway. Timing makes all the difference. Throwaway comments are dismissed words or phrases muttered underneath the breath. You want to train yourself to listen when this happens and to carefully hear what is being said. They often point to a coachable moment. The throwaway comment often points to that which is missing for the client. If the coach hears the dismissed point and repeats it back to the client, more useful information can emerge as a result. Then the coach can slowly unravel the skewed logic that the client has bound themselves with. Timing is everything. Every time you coach, you will learn which coachable moments to go after and when to tackle them. Timing can make a big difference in the flow of the session. If you launch in too soon, the client might not be ready for that shift. So you want to encourage your client to talk unless they're naturally very talkative.
Excuse me, Gary, I have a question, Anita.
Sure, go ahead.
You talked about throwaway comments. Can you give me some examples of that or phrases that they might say?
Well, now I wish Randy was here. for instance, you know, they may mutter something under their breath a little bit. For instance, they might say, well, it was, you know, it doesn't matter anyway. Or, you might be going along with them and they say, well, you know, nobody ever gets that. And you say, well, why do you say that? Well, that was just something I said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just things like that your client will say, and then sometimes when you confront them about it, what'll happen is that they, you know, they'll just kind of try to brush it off and sweep it under the rug, and you know, it was nothing really. But then again, like I said earlier, you know, there was a reason that was said. So you know, there is definitely something behind it. I'm sorry I can't give you any more because really and truly I've not had that much experience with clients doing that. I've been very lucky with that. I've not really had that many clients to do those things.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, encourage your client to talk unless they're naturally very talkative. Oh boy, I did a sample session yesterday with a lady, and she was really talkative. And it's hard for me. It's been hard for me to. That's one of the things that's been hard for me is to kind of rein in somebody when they're talking like that, and they're talking and they just talk. It has been kind of hard for me to get to the point to where I can rein them in. But then another reason is because I haven't had that happen, but just a few times. So part of it is because lack of experience. But yesterday, the sample session ended up going 2 hours.
Wow.
And I didn't talk that much. I may have talked about 10% of the time. You know, we always talk about the 80-20 rule about you talk 20 minutes, they 20%, the client talks 80%. I was doing 10 and she was doing 90. And I think she was doing 90 even just with the way she was talking, because she was talking kind of fast. But now, we're not suggesting that you hold yourself back completely. What you need to do, though, is learn how to rein yourself in a little so that you can be sure you have allowed the client time to be ready for their coachable moment. You know, when you see it, maybe just take a pause, count to three, count to five, take a couple of deep breaths, whatever. And, you know, make sure that the client is ready, you know, is ready to hear what you're about to say. So here's try this. When you hear your client pause in their story, like I said, count to five before you speak. Usually your silence will encourage them to give more valuable information. See, that's one reason. That's one of the reasons why you want to hold back, because you might get a little bit more information. And a lot of times what happens if, I don't know if any of you have had any experience with this yet, but if you get quiet on the phone a lot of times and, you know, you're just there listening and the client says something and then they stop, they pause for a couple of seconds, a lot of times they will pick right back up because they're not comfortable with that silence. They're not. And especially on the phone. Has everyone been through a little thing where we be quiet for like 15, 20 seconds and just to see how long that is?
Yeah, we've done that a couple times.
Okay. Yeah, 15 to 20 seconds seems real long on the telephone, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But now on the other hand, you know, if you're certain that the time is right, hey, jump in there and proceed into the coachable moment. Now, deep and meaningful coaching, staying safely on the surface with the client may not serve them at all. Coaching can go deep and be very meaningful. As you get to know your clients better, they may present you with opportunities to coach at a deeper level. But you are not a guru. As a coach, you don't need to be. Because coaching is not about teaching or leading. Coaching is about showing your client their own inner wisdom. All you need to do is show them the mirror and let them choose what they want to change. Now, there's three critical questions for you to ask yourself before going deeper with a client. And are these written there for you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll just read over them real quickly then. Are you fully within your integrity? You know, if you have an impulse to go deeper into a topic with your client, check in with yourself first. What's your motivation? If you're certain you're not bringing your agenda in, ask these next two questions. Are you operating within the realm of your training? You know, you've got permission to coach your client, but you don't have permission to diagnose or treat them. Keep out of the realm of therapy. Be clear about the differences between coaching and therapy. The next is, has the client given their permission to go deeper into a subject? Remember, the client's agenda always rules. Ask your client whether they would like to pursue a topic to a deeper level. Ask again, though, if you notice resistance. Take no for an answer if that is what you hear. Remember, coaching sessions are not the place for you to get your needs met or to be acknowledged for your wisdom. You know, you're privileged to be sharing the space with your client, and you are there to guide them to their own internal intelligence. You know, as we always say, you know, the client already has all their answers within themselves. It's our job to help bring those out. Any questions on anything so far?
Yeah, this is the thing. Mm-hmm. Do you find that difficult at times to rein yourself in when you?
In the beginning, yes. I admit, in the beginning, it was because I have a tendency to be a fixer, and I had to get over myself and overcome that though. But you know, yeah, it's definitely something that you really probably need to be more aware of in the beginning when you're first starting to coach. But as you go along, just like a lot of other things, you know, as you go along and practice it, it becomes easier and easier.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Okay. Client distress. There may come a time when your client moves into a moment of distress. Distress can show up in several forms. It could be that your client raises his or her voice in anger or irritation. It may also be that your client becomes emotional, perhaps even beginning to cry. At all costs, this is the time that the coach must absolutely remain in control and take active steps to move the client through the moment and back on course with the coaching conversations. This is not to minimize the client's distress, but unless the client successfully moves through the movement, the session will come to a complete standstill, or in the worst case scenario, the issue that caused the distress may never be adequately explored in future sessions. Okay? So, just stay in your integrity. Supporting the client in distress. As there is always a possibility of a client moving into distress, so it is important that the coach have a plan if the client becomes angry or emotional. Women and men may need to be supported differently. You know, when doing face-to-face coaching with a woman client, it may be acceptable to put out your hand to lightly touch her hand, or you might ask if she would prefer a hug. Keep in mind that if the coach is a male, keeping your response appropriate is particularly important. For the male client, it may be acceptable to just sit for a moment in silence, or alternatively, to place a hand on a shoulder in a show of support. For some men, though, any kind of reaching out may be unacceptable. And that's just, you know, that's just where you just have to get to know your client. And it works best if you develop your plan for success surrounding client distress by setting the guidelines for these moments at the onset of the coaching sessions. This can be easily done by simply having a conversation with the client and asking. There may be moments that you become overwhelmed with our conversation. This could be because you may be asked to think about things that may cause you to have an emotional response, such as anger or perhaps even a moment of tears. This may not be your experience at all, however. Should you experience a moment of anger or emotional distress, how best would I be able to support you through that moment? So, you know, you're letting them know this could happen, and if it does, how do they want you to support them? What do they deem is acceptable? What kind of support do they want? You know, and then you know. And then you give permission to the client to tell you what the appropriate response would be from you in either of the two situations, see? Now, the shift. One reason why coaching works so well as a process for achieving goals is that it catalyzes change to begin and brings about a shift in awareness. that your clients will accomplish small and more significant changes in their personal lives when they clearly see what they are doing that hampers their success. Once your client's agenda is clear and one or more coachable moments have been explored, hey, the coach can invite the client to shift or leap beyond the stuck phase toward possibility thinking. But a common mistake coaches make is that they try to move a client from a coachable moment directly into a strategy or action mode. You don't want to do that. Before outward action, the client needs to recognize within themselves a readiness to move forward openly and freely. This shift in readiness is that of the client getting it. Okay? They need the conscious, clear understanding about what has been holding them back. The action comes after this consciousness takes hold and then flows naturally from the shift that takes place within them. This shift happens within the client, not within the coach. When listening to a client, it is counterproductive to lock into a solution and push before the client is ready to do the shift. That would be putting into motion the coach's agenda. And what did I say earlier? The client's agenda rules. The client needs to see the move forward from a different perspective than before so that they can put themselves into creative action. So any questions or comments so far?
It's Sharon.
Yeah.
I had a client the other day who got extremely emotional and started getting very teary. He was talking. I had asked him if there was something he was truly passionate about and wanted to pursue. And so he started talking about this area, and he got very emotional, very teary-eyed, and I just very quietly let him speak and handed him a Kleenex and then just kind of let him go with the thought that he had, and then suggested that we might want to look at that as a possibility for employment for him. Now, I'm getting the feeling now that I may have jumped right into a strategy as opposed to letting him come to the conclusion. Did I?
Well, now,
step there?
Did he get it though?
Oh, definitely. There was no question.
That you want to make sure. That's what you want to make sure that happens before you do move into anything. Okay. That shift was happening, or it had happened. The client got it. They was like, "Yep, I see it now." And once that happens, then you can move forward with, into the action or strategy phase. But
okay, great.
It's like I said though, you want to. Like I said there earlier, the shift in readiness is that of the client getting it, and I asked you if they got it, and you said yes, so that was perfectly fine.
Okay, great.
So now making the shift. Usually a shift will happen within a single session, or even between sessions. See, just like I was talking about earlier, with that one client of mine where I asked them the question and they didn't have the shift until the next day. Okay? So sometimes it takes a little time. Sometimes it has to sit there and percolate, in their mind for a little bit, and then they get it and they move forward. So, if it's not happening right then in the session, I wouldn't really worry about it that much, because you might find out in the next session that due to some of the things that you were asking, that they had a major shift, and by you saying those, you helped facilitate that. So you wasn't there when the shift happened. Big deal. The important thing is that the shift did happen. Okay? Now, there are also larger shifts that occur with long-term clients. This is when coaching is really rewarding. Inviting the shift is a subtle thing, and with practice, your intuition will guide you. To begin understanding the process, acknowledge verbally every shift your client makes during coaching sessions. In a short time, you will see what shifts look like and how vital they are to your client's success. Have you ever seen your reflection in a window and noticed that your posture could be better? In effect, that is what happens with coaching the client. You show your client a reflection of themselves so that they can begin to make the necessary changes and adjustments in what they're doing and who they are being. Suddenly, there's a distinct contrast between the before and the after reflection. That contrast is the proof that a shift has occurred. Sometimes showing a client what the future could look like provides a contrast that invites the shift. So continue to or hold accountable. Remember, whatever we focus on expands. This is true for you, and it is true for your clients. Shifting focus provides the needed contrast for the clients. It is sometimes also true that just shining the investigative light of awareness in the right place will aid in a remarkable shift for the client. Again, this develops contrast between where the client is and where they want to be. So coaching means that you must be supportive, compassionate, and challenging all at the same time. So the three blanks there are supportive, compassionate, and challenging. Now you're all thinking, oh my gosh, I'm on, you know, I got to do all this at the same time. Well, don't worry about it. It comes easy. It, you know, just might take a little time, but after a while, all this will become just second nature to you. Okay? But you never want to come off patronizing. This can intimidate the client or keep them in a heavy frame of mind. It is not appropriate to push aggressively at a client to make changes. It's important that you don't find yourself in the place where you are caught up in wanting more for your client than they want for themselves. Let me just repeat that. It's important that you don't find yourself in the place where you are caught up in wanting more for the client than they want for themselves. Again, you know, the client's agenda rules. You know, we're here for the client. We're not here for ourselves. So don't get caught up in wanting more for the client. Although, you know, we all want more for our clients, but don't get caught up in it. You know, realize that you can't make them want more than they all more for themselves than what they already do. You know, they've got to make that change. They've got to make that shift to wanting more than, and it will happen. But on the other hand, accountability is what most clients want. Remember, remind the client of their goals or what they have said they wanted. Sometimes a well-placed question moves the client to action. If the client continues to roll away from the commitment, though, the commitment, goal, or coach request, you will need to check in with your integrity and with the client to determine whether to continue to hold them accountable. Any questions so far? Okay. Inviting the shift. There are ways that you can invite the shift. For instance, as the coach, you can say, hey, you have said that you want this for yourself, and yet I am not seeing your actions follow your words. Do you want me to continue to hold you accountable for this? So when inviting a client to shift consciousness, consider these ideas. And these are written for you, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll just read through them real quick then. You want to give your client a positive glimpse of the future? Suggest a shift in focus or perspective? Use contrast? Use metaphors? Use illustrations? Use stories? Always limit your stories, though, and keep them short. Be direct and challenging in your approach. Don't push, just remind the client what they want or what they told you that they want, okay? Recognizing the coachable moment. If you listen closely, the client will spell out very clearly where he or she wants to go. You may have to listen to what lies below the surface, but you'll hear it. The most helpful information usually flows out in the first few minutes of the session. Sometimes some brainstorming may be required to help the client clearly articulate what he or she truly is saying. But the information is there. As you listen, your intuition will tell you what question to ask. With practice, you will learn to clearly recognize these coachable moments that come up in a session. If you find yourself talking more than listening during a session, though, well, you may not have listened deeply enough. Or you may not have listened deeply at all. If this happens, just remind yourself to connect, not perform. If your attention is on what you are going to say next or how to solve the client's problem, your client won't get the feeling that you're truly in the moment, and they won't feel like they're being listened to. And really and truly, that is a gift that you give your client, because most people are not used to being listened to begin with. And when you get in there and you listen deeply, you know, that's a gift that you're giving your client. So you want to ascertain the facts. Clients give us volumes of information about the human condition in every session. They tell us who they are, who they want to be, and clearly point out the way they would like to proceed. Your job is to discern just where the highway to success is and how best to get to your destination. When listening, try to ascertain the facts rather than the client's interpretation. Ask questions that will cause the client to search more deeply. As you do, listen to your client's shift in perspective. Be aware of your tone of voice and always keep your tone neutral and non-judgmental. Avoid parental or dramatic tones at all times. As you continue your work with your client, he or she will become more solution-oriented all on his or her own. Okay? They will come to that. Let them do it on their own and when you do, it is more effective. Wow. We're almost done, and it's 8:46. I'm serious. Coachable in the group setting. Coachable moments within the group coaching situation must be handled differently. You might notice that an individual within the group coaching event has had a moment of revelation. Well, perhaps the eyes have lit up, or maybe there was an audible cue. Just remember that within a group setting, it is never appropriate to unwrap an individual's private moment to the others without permission. A good method of handling the discussion about coachable moments or personal insights is to put aside time during each coaching session where there is opportunity for anyone to discuss their personal revelations to the group. Once everyone becomes comfortable with one another, these discussions can be enlightening and encouraging to everyone. You may ask to speak with the client after the group session is over, or perhaps give you a telephone call or send you an email to discuss the insight that the client received through the session. Now, the masterpiece in all coaching sessions, the masterpiece is the shift that the client makes towards possibility thinking. Everything that happens in the session after that turning point is about framing the masterpiece. When a work of art is framed, it is clear that someone values it enough to show it off. The piece is complete and ready for public display. So now, we don't have any supplemental forms for you for this lesson, but we do have a personal growth challenge. Here's what we want you to do. From this moment on, during every sample and or paid coaching session that you execute, be open and watchful for the coachable moment. For several months, keep a coachable moments journal. Keeping a record of these moments will remind you of the power of coaching and just why it is that you have decided to become a coach to begin with. When you face moments of feeling that your client didn't get quite what you had hoped from the coaching session, read your journal. You will find encouragement within your journal's pages when you need them. Encouragement to keep you growing, learning and enhancing your skills. Okay, and like I said, there's no additional reading related to this lecture, so just spend some extra time. Just spend some time investigating your extra reading and supplementary forms from this week. So that's all. That's it. Any questions, comments, anything?
This is
Anita.
I'm sorry.
A word?
The word for the password, sorry.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Did I hear somebody else say something?
Yes, I had a question. This is Anita. And when they talk about deep listening, because I've just taken the Marketing 101 and then this lesson today, so probably this is taught in some of the other lessons, but are there any other books where it would help me to research or be a little bit more about how to deep listen?
Not that I can think of right offhand, but I will. Now, there's a book that I often refer people to, though, as far as listening goes, because of what it was said and what I read in the book. And the book is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And it talks in there about just listening to people, you know, especially like if you go to a networking event or whatever, or you're at a party or whatever kind of social activity you're in, just ask some questions of the person that's sitting next to you and let them tell you their story, you know, and just listen intently, you know. Keep your focus on them and focus on what they're saying. And don't let, you know, try to keep your mind from wandering and thinking about, well, this person, well, they really need to be coached or they could, you know, or whatever. No, just listen to what they're saying. And, you know, ask questions about what they're saying to kind of further draw out information from them. And, you know, as you're doing that, like if you're in some sort of a social gathering, what ends up happening is this individual thinks that you are a great conversationalist. They have had a great conversation with you, and there it was. You hardly talked at all, but you listened to what they had to say. And they value that. People value that because they don't normally get it. Did that help any?
Yes.
All right, great. Anyone else? Okay.
Hi, guys.
Well,
Vandana, I don't have a question, but just want to let you know I came in a bit late today.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay, well, if there's no further comments or questions, I guess we can close it up and give you the word for the day. So the word for today will be shift. Shift, help your client shift their perspective.
Shift happens.
Very good.
Hey, you know, hey, that would be a good t-shirt for a coach, wouldn't
That's
it? Shift,
excellent.
Shift happens.
Yes. Oh, take that marketing idea.
Yeah.
There you go. Uh-oh. I've spawned a generation.
Yes. Can we use that?
Sure. It's not even mine. It's like a bumper sticker, I think.
Oh, is it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, I've seen the other bumper sticker, but I've not seen the one that says shift.
Yeah.
I drive a stick shift car, so shift does happen.
Yeah,
there you go. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, if there's no further comments or questions.
Well, I have a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
You were right. I didn't think it was going to be possible, but you did manage to be very fast because you're a very slow talker usually. Not that that's a bad thing, but you usually, you know.
I know. Well, I'm a pretty laid back individual anyway, so I mean, you know,
I for one, really, really enjoyed it, and I thought it was nice that it moved along and got going. And I actually had a better time tonight taking notes than ever. Of course, there wasn't as many, but So anyway, I just wanted to say, you know, you might want to tell Dr. Braun he's gonna have to, you know, pep it up a little bit.
Oh man.
Yes, thank you. It was.
Well, I will let you send him an email and tell him that, Gary.
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Of course,
all
in good humor, of course.
Yes, of course. Now, speaking of emails, I do want to let you know that I think here in the next few days or maybe the next week or so, you will be getting an email that will give you new emails where I can be contacted and where Randon can be contacted. As a matter of fact, all of the lecture associates are getting new email addresses. So that way they'll all come to one location, and instead of being scattered all over the place like they are right now. So just be on the lookout for that. And if there's no other comments or questions, I guess it's time to say goodnight.
Okay. Well, what's on for next week?
Good night.
Oh, what's on for next week? I don't have the list in front of me right now.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well,
but you will get an email with the notes.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Gary. It's been great.
And
you're
Gary,
welcome.
This is Sue. I made it all the way through.
All right.
Good night.
Well, I was trying. That's one of the reasons why I was trying to hurry up so to make sure that you know got it all in before something happened and you did have to go.
Well, it sure does look like it's going to, but it held off long enough. So thank
all
you very
right.
much.
You're welcome.
That's what you can tell Dr. Brown if he gives you a hard time for running early. You can say, well, we had thunderstorms and stuff, and we were trying to wrap it up so in case people got
back. Yeah, that's true.
I was just trying to rise to the occasion. And I was just trying to do what's best there.
Yeah.
No, I really honestly, Melissa's going to forget when she sees how many notes I wrote. Because for some reason I was just able to track you. I don't know.
All
right. Of course, we didn't have as many notes, but I wrote a lot of my own tonight, which I don't usually
right.
have the chance to do because I'm trying to keep up. So for some reason you got through faster, and yet it was somehow slower for me.
Wow, that's kind of strange.
It is. Strange.
It was faster, but it was slower.
Yes. Well,
all
it's
right.
just because there wasn't as much that we had to write tonight, so I was able to take more notes of things you said.
Right.
But weren't here, you know. So
yep.
Yeah, I don't know. It
all
was
right.
Good is all I can say.
Well,
I enjoyed it.
See y'all next
it's
week.
It's not that I don't like Dr. Brown. He does a wonderful job too. It's just that he runs. He's like me. That's why I can give him a hard time about it. Cause I do the same thing to my clients. I just run them ragged. It's just awful. Of course I run myself ragged too. But anyway.